And welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 143. I am your host this week, Will Wilson, and with me is John Jordan.
Hello.
And Keith Andrew.
Hello. Are you not doing the Bond sting this week?
I don't mind him.
I've done it for a number of weeks now.
Are we bored of that now? Is that dead? That's over?
Yeah.
that's so August now. Yeah.
Yes, so no Bond theme today. Also, I'm worried that MGM or whoever owns them now, it's going to come and hunt me down if I keep using that.
Mr. Broccoli. Chubby Broccoli, he'll come and do something with a cauliflower.
Well, I don't want to know. let's go straight on to the news this week, I'd say. Right, first up on the news, oh god, it's another iPhone 5 rumour. Oh, jeez. let's see who did this one. It's probably DigiTimes or something rubbish like that. Let's have a look. This is booting up. Sorry about this, listeners, I've got the link, but it's taking a while. What site is this? Oh, John Jordan.
dear. He was just bored, so he made it up.
Never misses an opportunity, does he, Will? Never misses.
Well, this John Jordan chap. It's a terrible, man. Well,
that's got 189 likes, this story.
Yeah, I know. I've just seen that. Bloody
308
hell.
Tweets.
When the hell did that happen?
Exactly.
He's got plus ones.
It's like Engadget stuff.
Well, what can I say?
Actually, I've read this.
I saw it as the top of the most popular stories. I was like, oh... I'll never be the top of the most popular stories.
You just got to make something up, Will. We'll think of something.
Right. Well, apparently he hasn't made it up, listeners. It's got sources. Do you want to talk about it then, John?
Not really. I mean, what can I say? I heard from a source that this is what was happening. It wasn't deep jobs, but apart from that, I'm not saying anything.
He was standing in the queue at Sainsbury's and he overheard a conversation.
It was a proper bony, fidey PocketGamer.biz source who has been proven correct in the past. So I trusted him.
Of course, you're in direct competition now of all things digital because they've gone with 4th of October.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I don't know.
Oh, by the way, his rumour was that the press conference would be held on the 5th of October. We haven't said what.
Yeah,
5th of October or 4th of October. Why have they gone for the 4th?
Well, I don't know. It was kind of funny. We were talking to Keith about this. When were we? We were out on Tuesday, weren't we? And it was funny because basically I ran that story. Okay, it's not an amazing story in the sense that everyone knows this thing's going to happen at some point. So there's the question of when's it going to happen. I mean, that's kind of the only thing. So people were saying 21st of October, obviously, a couple of weeks ago. And then is it the T-Mobile or the Orange guy who said, 15th of October. So it fit in that context. That's about the time they would do it. So, but obviously we were the first ones to actually put a date on it. And then none of the big sites then actually wrote about it at all. And a few people were poo-pooing me, like, ugh. And that's kind of fair enough, I suppose. But then when someone else goes the 4th of October, then because they were like all things D, then everyone's like, oh yeah, you could have done that. No, all they've done is they've taken a source and everyone's just copied it. So they could have done that with us. So I'm a little bit peeved off, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's the 4th. So.
Well, all things D did get, the iPad 2 date right.
I thought,
but it's a different writer this time. This is
yeah,
this
no,
the
that
thing.
Doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Are they not usually on Thursdays, or am I imagining that?
I don't think they tend to get bogged down specifically on a day, as far as I can remember. I think they've moved around. I think as far as I can remember, the last one I went to, I mean, that was in the middle of when was that in the middle of? It was WWDC, so that was a Monday, so that's. It's different because that's the start of a week. So I think the other one I went to was one in the middle of GDC. That was a Wednesday. But of course, the other thing, where's it going to be? Because the last few have been at the Moscone Center in San Francisco. But there's a big Oracle conference on all week that week. So they're not going to do it there. So I assume they're doing it in their own offices. But, I think the bottom line is at some point during that week, I think everyone is kind of in agreement. That will be the time. I kind of thought the 5th would work because it's iOS 5, it's iPhone 5. You don't have to have it. You can have it on a Wednesday or.
Hang about. You kind of thought it would be the 5th.
Well, that's not the reason. That's kind of why you know, basically all I had, all that happened is my source said this is happening then. I believe this source. So, you know, what I'm going to say is that I broke it was the 5th, and then Apple wanted to piss me off and moved it to the 4th. So maybe I am right, but yeah.
Do you think all the other sites are going to go, sorry, we meant the 4th? No, meant the 5th.
The 5th. I'll get my just reward. No, I don't.
I did see all the other sites went with the 4th. And I was like, huh, why did they go there? And then I followed the source back and it was, yeah, all things D, unnamed source.
Yeah. The other thing is, you know, if I was a journalist on another site, and to be fair, you know, we're Pocket Gaming, we're not VentureBeat or any of these huge ones. So what I would do is if some site who kind of are credible, but I don't really know very well, had done that kind of story, I'd then of course go back to all my people that I knew and go, this site said this, what do you know? And then, because then you can use that as leverage in a way that you can't just get them to, you know, people are much more happy to say, oh no, it's wrong, it's actually the 4th. But whereas if you didn't need date, they wouldn't tell you the date. So, you know, we come maybe with a stalking. But who knows, it's not been announced yet, I could still be correct. So.
What happens if you are correct?
I don't know. What happens if I'm wrong? I mean, does it?
Well, we know what happens to people who just make up rumors, John. Have you heard the tale of the boy who cried Apple iPhone 5 press conference launch date?
It was one of the interns, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, was is the key.
Basically, I'm right. That's all I need to know.
All right. Well,
even if it happens on the 4th, we're not covering it till the 5th. That's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah. We refuse to go. Well, you know, there's but it's not, this is like the first ever time I can remember we've got a source to tell us a date for one of these launches, or at least in my memory. So I mean, it's not as if we've got we're DigiTimes.
No, exactly.
So yeah.
Well, laughing at his own dig there, yeah. You've been taking tips off old Zuckerberg on the stage.
But
there.
No, I have to wait for everyone to clap.
Nervously.
And then, like, there's no clapping, and I look kind of pissed off after a while because no one claps. Yes, well, we were watching the Facebook keynote speech at F8 just a minute ago. Listeners, if you're wondering what we're talking about. So, yeah, there we go. iPhone 5 is out on the 4th of October.
No, the press conference
is on the 5th of October.
It'll be out. It'll be in retail a week later.
It'll be in retail. I guess US retail, not UK.
I don't know.
Well, of course. I mean, the other thing is now there's this thing that's going to be there's the iPhone 5 and an iPhone 4S. So there's going to be two different things.
So now your source is saying two phones.
No. My source only mentioned the date, nothing else. That was a date source. It wasn't a date content source.
My date sources.
My source says it's going to be shaped like a heart. That's what I think.
Love life. Love communication.
It's not
touch screen.
Yeah.
Ding 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 ding. Love iPhone 5.
I guess I have to say at this point in the conversation, I hope you're recording this, Will, after last week.
It's recording. I've got it all on tape.
It was nice to know.
All of it. So, yes, so there we go. 5th of October press conference. You heard it here first. Or on the 4th. okay, let's go on to games news now. No, actually, let's keep with the iPhone. Let's go on a bit of biz news before we launch to games. A report came out this week from Distimo,
yeah.
That said,
no, so there was basically, there's been two stories this week. I have to say, one of which we broke again, but kind of in a confusing way. So the main headline thing is 72% of iPhone revenue, although 72% of the revenue generated by iPhone apps comes from in-app purchases. Okay. But then only 4% of iPhone apps have in-app purchases. So effectively 4% of iPhone apps are generating 72% of the revenue, and that's all in-app purchases. So that's the scary number, that a tiny amount of apps.
That freaked John out.
It did. Well, the 72% is kind of, that kind of seems, I mean, that's a lot, but it seems like, you know, but I can believe only 4% of iPhone apps, yeah, purchases. So I had to check with Distimo to say, are you sure? And they checked and said, well, they didn't check. They emailed back and said, yeah, and this is the reasons why, blah, blah, blah. But that's incredible, isn't it? 4%. Okay, yeah. I mean, there's
how many apps are on the App Store?
Pardon?
There's at least 10. I've seen 10 or 20.
I've seen at least 10 or 20, yeah.
Yeah, quite a lot. I mean, I guess that's the thing. There's a vast amount of apps that have just been released and no one's done anything with them. And obviously, you're only using app purchases for certain things, like obviously games. But, you know, a lot of other apps will just be free with advertising, or they'll just be like a straight paid app. So you just buy it. There's no reason to have a microtransaction business model. So in a sense, when you look into it, it kind of does make a bit of sense, but 4% is still a tiny amount.
The problem with that figure is you can imagine, though, that developers who aren't doing anything freemium at the moment might look at that and think, oh, well, that's all where the money is, and do it without kind of actually thinking about how that relates to their game
It says here
25% of... No, that was in 2008. What's the amount? Well, you've got to remember how many percentage of apps are free apps as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. But free apps can still have in-app purchases in them, can't they? So.
Yeah.
Obviously, because most of the freemium games...
I mean, that's a huge figure, because I was saying to you, John, the other day that we quite often get reports come across on Biz that talk about how much revenue is coming from in-app purchases and stuff. And some of them, I seem to remember some of them kind of skirted around the 50% mark, kind of tipped over halfway, which was quite big news at the time. But 72% from all apps is you know, that's huge, really. It's massive.
Yeah.
Just shows how the model works, whatever some developers and some commentators might poo-poo it. But, you know, it's working.
It would be skewed as well, because, I mean, the value of most of the in-app purchases is higher than the cost of most games.
Oh, yeah, but which, again, just it proves the point, really, isn't it? Because you think about it, logically, if you didn't want to spend money, you'd be thinking, well, I'm not going to pay that. But people are. They're free, and then they're then willingly investing extra money into it because they feel kind of connected, I suppose. But it just kind of proves that you can actually make far more money if it's a choice to spend money, I suppose.
Oh, well. All right, we're going to go on to...
Oh, game. Well.
Yeah, oh, well.
You're sounding quite grumpy.
I'm quite grumpy.
Will's disappointed.
It's upset me. Let's go on to games news. First up with the games news. Not your biz news, your iPhone 5 made-up rumours. I'm going to annoy John after a while doing this. If I haven't already. Capcom are bringing 3 classic Street Fighter titles to iPhone. In the Street Fighter 2 collection. Boom, boom. I don't see the point of these 3 games. I'm sure if you're a Street Fighter 2 maniac and like you know every single... You know even the amount of frames it takes for certain moves to execute. You're not going to be playing that on the iPhone, surely. You'll be with your £150 joystick and your original arcade machine in your room, which you spent like £1,000 on. But yeah, so they're bringing out a collection for £2.49, which includes Street Fighter 2 The World Warrior, that's the original, Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition, Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting.
This is why it always just confused me as a kid when they do this, because I have no idea.
There was about 8 Street Fighter 2 games, weren't there? There was Street Fighter 2 Alpha, Street Fighter 2 Alpha, Street Fighter 2 Turbo. Turbo Alpha was another one?
I was a Mortal Kombat man, so all this is alien to me.
I remember playing Alpha. It's a bit weird, though, because Street Fighter 2, the original, I played it again a few years ago on the SNES. Super Street Fighter 2, this is. And it was... what?
I'm even more confused. I have no idea what you're talking about.
But it was really slow. It's incredible how like how much faster beat-em-ups are. Back when I was younger, that was... I thought that was really quick, but no, it's really slow. Anyway, Street Fighter 2, these other ones, I'm sure Hyper Fighting isn't slow at all. They've all got Street Fighter 4-esque controls, so I guess that's sort of shortcuts for special moves and all that jazz. A Bluetooth multiplayer, no online. And they're coming out, when are they coming out? Oh, it's out, I think. Let's have a look. It is out, it's out now. So there we go. That's
proper news.
It's proper news. Yeah. So although they say it's a special offer,
So well, it means money, doesn't it?
Well, £2.49.
Well, maybe it's...
Well, you know what? The App Store customer reviews for the pack have all been positive so far.
Good old Capcom PR, yeah.
Yeah, good old Capcom PR. Never miss a trick. yeah, there's only 3 reviews, so it could well be Capcom PR there. Anyway, yeah, so that's out. So they got the controls right on Street Fighter 4, so I've heard. I can't run it on my iPod 2nd gen. But yeah, what else is coming out? Oh, Anomaly Warzone Earth is getting some add-ons. Right, it's getting a patch.
Cool. Patch.
Well, updates. I know. I can't.
You talk to your PC fanboy.
Yeah, PC fanboy. You can't control anything about a mouse.
You've got new drivers for the sound card.
Yeah, I put in the Sound Blaster 16 drivers. even where I've got...
Will's normal voice. I've not heard that in ages.
Hello there. Yeah, sorry about that. I put on my trendy voice.
Trendy.
That is trendy, Keith. Anyway, Anomaly. It's getting a patch, which adds... Well, this is confusing, right? The direct quote says it's adding the squad assault mode. There's already a squad assault mode.
It's new levels.
No,
new
I know.
Levels for it. Yeah.
But the direct quote, he says squad assault mode is being added.
Oh.
But I've edited that story to levels because it can't be added to when it's already there. So yes, the squad assault. Oh, which one was that? Oh, I can't remember. I completed that game in like 3 nights playing it non-stop, and now I can't remember what the mode is. Anyway, there's also going to be there's also going to be more extras over the course, well, over time, with a new location in the works, and other stuff. It's a great game. Buy it. Give it 10 out of 10. Anyway, right, yes. So let's move to a bit of a wacky and crazy gaming story. Crowd gaming specialist Uplause, that's U the letter Plause, like applause, is going to launch a noise controlled version of Angry Birds at the Singapore Grand Prix.
Bizarre, isn't it?
What on earth? How does it work? Why?
Never mind. Yeah, why? Why is the question?
Well, I mean, to be fair to them, their business model is they've been doing this kind of stuff for like a year or so. So they basically make games that can be played by crowds, which are basically noise control games. So they've been doing it for a while for sports events, and I think they did something at the V Festival. So it's not so weird that they're doing this. They're Finnish companies, so I guess they know some of the Rovio people. So I guess that's why they're doing that specific game. So it's not like someone's come up and said, "Oh, let's do a noise controlled version of Angry Birds."
What I don't get though, if they're doing it at the Formula One race in Singapore, wouldn't the cars be louder anyway?
Well, presumably they'll be doing it when the cars aren't going round, because people will be watching the cars, won't they, rather than wanting to play the games.
I swear though, you could be like the manufacturer. You'd be like an arms dealer, and you could go along to Rovio and say, "We want to put Angry Birds on bombs. Is that all right with you? We'll pay you some money."
Bluebird. We want to put the Bluebird on the cluster bombs.
We're going to put them all on our missiles. Is that fine with you? Yeah. We'll put a press release out about it. Don't worry. It's great news. It's like, even if you liked this game now, you're just starting to despise it. You know, it's just.
So if you're at the Singapore Grand Prix, make some noise.
Well, it supposedly will be once they've done that one, it will be available in other places. So
under the bench.
Well, no, because you need a crowd, wouldn't you? So anywhere with the crowd. No, I can't work out how they're going to when you tap the screen to do the cluster birds. I mean, I don't understand how it's going to work.
I'm sure it's just going to be a very basic version with just a slingshot and a red bird.
But if you're Rovio. And what, you know, someone who's supposedly doing their marketing, what does this do for the brand? I don't understand what they're thinking. So how does this help? I can understand things like baby clothes, as daft as that is, and so even speakers make some kind of sense. But you just kind of think, how does this add to the brand? What is this saying about Angry Birds? I don't get what they're thinking.
It's so popular.
It's just doing anything
that you can play it that it's played with crowds of people.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
There, yeah.
Well,
maybe.
Everything does.
Well, no, it's more likely to end up with a Vettel victory. anyway, let's move on to the new releases roundabout. This week on the new releases, we're going back in time to the medieval ages to offer a tiny defense against Hector.
That made more sense than usual, actually. That was at least a sentence.
Spoons. So let's have a look at the bus of games that's just driven past us. Let's see what's on the back of it. First up this week is Hector, Episode 3, Beyond Reasonable Doom. It's the third episode in the Hector Badger Carnage series from Strahd Lupa and published by Telltale. Northern Irish, Pointwell Tap. I don't know, what is the new name for that? Well, what's the new name for...
What, the genre?
Yeah, well, because it was point and click, but it can't, it's not...
I think still call it point and click, don't you? I think
yeah,
it's one
you
of those
still
things.
Call it point, but yeah.
Tap and tap sounds stupid.
Tap and tap could apply to any game, really, couldn't it?
Yeah, that's a good point. But so could point and click. I mean, any RTS could be point and click.
Tap and stroke, yeah.
Tap and tap adventure, though.
Tap and stroke's what I call Friday night, so...
Anyway, yes, so the rude, lewd, and crude, but also quite hard, point and click adventure is back again for third episode. I'm reviewing it, but I haven't had a chance to play it.
It's very Nickelodeon kind of thing.
A little bit.
Nickelodeon.
Well,
the animation.
Looking at the design of Hector in that picture, I think.
It's quite weird that it took him a year. Was it a year or 2 years? It was a year between the first one and the second one, and then the third one, obviously, they've been working on them both in the meantime, but they've both come out within about a month of each other, which, is that sensible or not? I don't know. But obviously,
they could
there's not going to be another
waited
one.
Waited another month before releasing this one. That's...
Yeah. You're kind of like potentially losing a bit of sales on the second one. I don't know. I suppose you can discount the second one or something, you know.
Well, maybe Telltale said to them, like, as part of the publishing. Because you know they're doing the episodic thing, even though actually each one of Hector's is about twice or three times as long as a normal Telltale episode.
Yeah.
I went, oh, you've got to do it like a month apart.
I guess the other thing is when they've got all three of them out, they up to Christmas they can do kind of pricing the first two cheap, and then you know people like you know so there's stuff you can do with three that when they're out there, I suppose.
Yeah. Monster Island is up next. Fragger. What's Fragger? I didn't play Fragger.
Physics trajectory game.
Sounds like vomit.
Physics trajectory throw up game.
It's mini clip.
Is it mini clip?
Yeah.
Oh wow, cool. Mini clip are usually pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a trajectory game. You're right.
I reviewed it. Yeah.
You've reviewed it.
I reviewed Fragger.
You know, but not Monster Island.
Not Monster Island, no, it's not out. Is it out yet?
It's out now.
Yeah, well, it's basically like a monster version of Fragger, isn't it? It's kind of
So
it's quite nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks quite funky.
Yeah, I mean, their games tend to be put together quite well.
They do actually.
Mini clip guys. I mean, all their games tend to be that kind of pretty kind of straightforward pick up and play physics, you know, good artwork. So, and all 99 cents.
69p, John.
Well, whatever.
Why do you always say 99 cents?
Because the majority of our listeners are probably Americans.
No.
I
think the majority of our listeners are in my family, to be honest. So.
So Monster Island out now. Mini clip. Tiny Defense. Have you played this one, John?
No, it looks quite good, though, doesn't it? Oh, no, I'm thinking of another one. There's loads of... There's one I keep confusing it with. There's Jelly Defense and Tiny Defense. There's loads of defense games, but at the moment there's two, and I keep getting muddled up.
Side scrolling, Tiny Defense, is side scrolling, or side view, I guess.
Oh, it's the 2D one, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I thought gameplay wise, it might be quite confusing, but I thought it was doing something different. You know, I mean, not staggeringly immensely different, but just for a tower defense game, it's a little bit trying to do something.
Yeah, I mean, it's not castle versus... That's the big thing, I guess. It's 2D, but it's not castle versus castle. So
yeah.
You are set defending, but only on a 2D plane, which is unusual. Mm. There are 150 levels. Blimey, 150 levels. 40 different types of robot, 32 types of enemy, 30 mini games as well. Blimey, they haven't really skimped on the content, have they?
Yeah, in fact, didn't they? Yeah.
So yeah, tiny defenses, anything but tiny.
No.
$1.99 of your good English sterling pounds.
British.
British, yeah, good point. British. Sorry, Scots in the world.
Well, it's Bank of England, isn't it? So, yeah.
Actually, no, wait. Which one falls under British and which one falls under the United Kingdom?
United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, Will.
Yes, gotcha. Yeah. Right, okay. Sims Medieval. Talking of kingdoms, Sims Medieval is out as well. I played this. Haha, I can talk about it.
It's is it like Sims,
but
like
medieval ages? Mm-hmm. You didn't really need to play it to know that, did you? Yeah, they've taken out jobs. And they've put in peasants, and you start off as a peasant, and you have to work your way up to be the king or queen, depending on which sex you picked. And there's some rather naff looking duel sections, which I didn't think were very good on my short.
Like that screenshot there.
Mm-hmm. It was a bit weird, that duel. Like I was basically screwing up the person who was demonstrating it to me, her character. Because she was being all really nice and going around, like, doing jobs for people. And I went, so, could you start a fight with a blacksmith? So I started a fight with a blacksmith, which I lost, obviously. And then I went, like, could you kill your character? And starved her to death. You can kill the character, by the way.
Standard way.
Yeah, you starve them to death. And she was in the hovel as well, right by the pot. And she kept looking at me going, food! Like, no!
That reminds me of real life.
Yeah, it does a bit.
How long did it take to starve then? Not really.
Well, she was already hungry, because if you lose a jewel, you lose lots of... You don't need to go to the toilet anymore. I asked about this as well. I went, is there a privy? And she was like, oh, I don't know, actually. Looked at the stats, and there was no toilet.
Toilet is so last gen. We don't toilet anymore.
Yeah, well, they would
no
have
one,
done...
No, who do you know who goes to the toilet anymore? No one,
actually,
no one toilets anymore.
Point. I don't remember last time I went. It's been that long. Anyway, yes.
You just went then, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yes. Yeah, so that's out on the iPhone. I don't think it's out on the iPad yet. So I don't think any of them are, in fact.
It looks pretty rubbish to me.
It wasn't too bad.
But I'm not a Sims fan. And I really don't get it.
I like The Sims 3.
Balls me to tears.
And I did play World Adventure or World Traveler or something like that. That was rubbish. It didn't seem that bad.
Yeah, I'm going from the Java versions of all these games. They're all really good.
The Java version is actually not that bad. I thought that was quite good. No, I get suckered in because it keeps giving you objectives. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, knock over three. Oh, I'll do that. And then it ticks. And then it goes like, woohoo. And then it gives you another objective. And you're like, oh, that will only take a few minutes to complete. And then it takes maybe like 2 hours to get off of it. Anyway, here we go. Universal apps. Idyllic! Exclamation mark.
Idyllic.
Yeah. Why are you doing that funny voice again?
Because it's
idyllic.
Exclamation mark. Yeah.
Is that it?
It's an exclamation mark.
Okay.
It looks like a platform jumping game. It's not really a platformer though. It's like an endless runner where you jump on platforms.
Yeah.
And pick up special ability. I don't. Oh no, it's got boss characters as well. Yes, so you jump on platforms and you change the dead environments to living plants and stuff like that. I'm not overly impressed.
I quite like the art style, but I didn't really.
Also, it says like impressive bosses or something on the trailer video. Mini bosses. No, wait, mini boss. That makes sense. Because I was about to say, but then the boss is the same as the one that you see at the end. So they have one boss.
It's a green thing with an eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. That took a lot of design work.
It's got tentacles as well.
It's just lifted straight from generic bosses folder, that, I think.
Yeah. Number 32. The Slime Beast.
It's your nickname.
It is. It's one of many. Yes. So next is Another World 20th Anniversary Edition, which is Dotemu, who you might remember from such games as R-Type. French developers, I think they're French. Yes. Yeah. It's a remastering of the original Atari ST and Amiga classic from 1991.
Classic.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about it later.
It's a classic.
It is apparently. A classic. It's a classic.
Classic.
Apparently, you can't say anything bad about it either.
You can't. It's classic. Will, do you not understand classic?
Don't you know what the word means? The next one isn't out this week on the new releases. Sky Gamblers. It's been delayed.
Oh, okay.
Where's my water? Disney. it's a Disney game. This is interesting. But it's not based on any...
Oh, is this the one they're going to turn into a film?
Yeah, it might be, yes.
No, I'd advise them against that, looking at this screenshot, to be honest.
Would you? You better get them on the phone quick. They're going to push off production.
Well, I'm sure they'll listen to me as well. I'll just say no and leave it at that.
It's definitely the one because Swampy the alligator is the character. What's funny about that?
That's just so boring. Swampy the alligator. That's great, isn't it? I really always wanted to play as an alligator. If you're going to do that, make it something, you've got to do a bit of a Sonic, haven't you? Do something that's ironic,
Alan.
Make a hedgehog fast. Swampy the alligator. It's like, it doesn't really roll off the tongue, that. It's just a big fat no from me. I'm sorry.
All right, big fat no from
Keith. I'm out.
Keith, that's Swampy.
Yeah, come on, Keith. You've got to love Swampy. Hi there, kids. I'm Swampy.
I have got a Swampy bed set, but, apart from that, I'm not a fan.
Doo-doo egg. Match 4 puzzler. Bah.
It's all toilet jokes for you this week, isn't it?
I don't mind Match 4. I don't mind Match anything. I still quite like them.
I don't.
It's interesting how they all try to do something slightly different from Bejeweled, but most of them fail. But, it's still quite fun.
Well, there we go. That's the new releases. I don't agree with Keith. Anyway, so yes, let's go on to the what we've been playing fields. If you're wondering why I'm rushing through, by the way, listeners, this week, it's because I'm off tomorrow.
Again?
Yeah. I'm off on an early flight as well.
Early flight?
Yeah.
Going anywhere nice?
Yeah, Zurich, in fact, actually, my friend.
Zurich?
Yeah.
You're running off of all our money? Your special bank account?
Again. Yeah. Last time you caught me, this time I'm actually taking a plane and I'm not running. Anyway, what have we been playing? What have you been playing, Keith?
Me? I've been playing some stuff this week, actually. Yeah.
Cool.
I've been playing a game called Wildlings, it's kind of like people have been describing it as tower defense, but it isn't really. It's really quite basic in that. There is a nest of little chicks, three of them, and you control these big birds who have to stop these chicks getting nabbed, basically, by all these invading weird creatures. So all you do is tap on the creatures as they come onto the screen, and the birds go over and they beat them up and get rid of them. Some of them, the idea is that some of them are quicker than others, and some of them take more of a fight. So you have to basically kind of decide which to tap first, which is going to get to your nest first. And and then you've got some power-up moves, like rains down cherries on their heads, like missiles to knock them out and stuff like this. It's all really, really basic, and it really should be really quite boring. But for some reason, it isn't, actually. You find yourself not putting it down. Mm. And you realise you've been on it for 20, 30 minutes, and you're still doing it. So it's kind of it's like a 7 out of 10 kind of thing. But it acts as quite a good trainer. If you knew someone who hadn't played anything in that sphere, it's not a bad one to leave them alone with for 20 minutes. And if they're like that, they'll like some of the more complex ones. But yeah, it's you know, it's overly cutesy kind of delivery and it's a bit sickly, but it's very playable. It's sort of someone knows what they're doing, I'd say, behind it. So yes, and I've also been playing. You talked about it last week, didn't you? Old, you talk about it, Whale Trail, last week.
No, I'm going to talk about it this week. But
you're going to talk about this. Well, I'll let you talk about it. Okay. I was going to say it's very nice.
Well, thanks for spoiling John's speech. I'll go next. Yeah, John's speech. what have I been playing? Well, I better talk about Another World, because that's what I've been playing.
I think it's classic. That's what they're all saying.
Everyone's saying it's classic. It's unadulterated success, they say.
They didn't.
10 out of 10.
Did someone say that?
No, I'm just making that one up. Someone did say that it's one of a must-have app that you must get for your iPhone. Must have. If you don't have it, you are less of a man than someone who does. Or a woman.
Or if you're a woman, yeah.
Or a woman. You're less of a woman.
Someone who does actually have it, though, aren't you?
I am. I do actually have it. It's on my iPad. Yes, I've given it 5 out of 10.
But it's a classic.
It's a classic. Okay. It is a classic. Yeah, I played it back in the day on my Amiga 500, and
you like it then?
I did like it then.
Okay.
But those days are a lot easier and simpler. Well, I don't say easier. They were a lot simpler.
You were a lot easier back then.
I was a lot easier. Nowadays, I play hard to get with my games. Games? I meant women. Anyway, the yeah, well, the problem is it's sort of a, you could review this game in two ways, and I've decided to review it as a game.
Surely you're reviewing it as a nice meal enough.
No, what I mean by that is that Dotemu, the guys who brought the game over, have done a really good job of remastering it, as in a tasteful job. They've got the Monkey Island-esque two-finger this time, not three-finger, sweep to change between the low-res and the upgraded graphics,
okay.
Which works very well. The upgraded graphics themselves, very clean, very nicely done. Doesn't ruin the look of the original without making you want to gouge your eyes out because of the bad pixels. And they've made two control methods, both of which work reasonably well. Both touch and virtual D-pad, which by default, it's configurable, but by default, it's at the top of the screen because most of the action happens at the bottom, which is clever. Three difficulty modes, ranging from hardcore, which is the original game, to normal, which is easier. Takes away, but they're very subtle changes. It like removes an enemy here, or it makes it so you don't have to do something there, or it makes timing a little bit easier.
Mm.
Like by a millisecond, but it's you notice it. You know why you notice it? Because it's stupidly hard. Another World is basically a game which hates you. It hates you. You want to enjoy it because the graphics are quite expressive, even though they're quite basic. But you won't unless you're a diehard fan or nostalgic as can be. You won't enjoy it. It's horribly hard. And not hard in a nice sort of Super Meat Boy or give it one more try hard. It's just hard in that sort of illogical, let's do this because that'll really piss them off way. So like there's one section where you go down these caves and for all intents and purposes, it looks like you just walk to the right, but you die straight away, of course. So you then fall down a pit, you die. If you don't jump over the pit and then go jump over the other pit, but then drop down that pit, then you'll be all right. You'll land on solid ground. It's like, what the fuck? And then you get up to this bit where there's like a thin piece of rock above a lake and you're like, okay, I've got to shoot that rock and then run back and I'm safe. No, what you've got to do is avoid that because you won't have enough time. Why? Because you need to drop down again, go through this whole annoying section where every jump is an absolute pitfall. It also, if you die, you get put back like 3 minutes. So it's like, oh, bloody hell. So, and then because the controls are good in the sense that they're exactly the same as the original, in the sense that Lester is a slow mother. Blah, blah, blah. So every time you press jump, he like thinks, I think I might jump now. Yeah, I think I will jump. And then he finally jumps. So it's like, if you're at all chased, and you will be chased, there's quite a number of sequences where you have to do things fast. Like, if you take a step forward, he goes like, giant step forward. And then if you're like one pixel, like on top of a floor monster thing, you get killed. And then you're back 5 minutes. And you're sitting there thinking, why am I playing this? Why am I putting myself through this pain and punishment? It's not at all. It doesn't make me feel good. It's not fun. And then you get to shooting sections and you think, right, okay, it's going to get better now because you know I've got the gun. But you have to do them exactly the way that you have to do them in. You can't experiment. You can't, like, duck. It's not like Flashback, you know, where you could duck, roll, shield, bam, bam, and like that. It's absolutely clunky as hell. So, like, if you did try and duck, they shoot you. It's like, oh, great. So I don't have to duck on that scene. I have to shoot once, do a shield there, then turn around, take your time, Lester, go on, and then shoot that guy. It's like, so, yes, it's a... If you want to review it in the sense that has Dotemu done a good job of bringing this to the iPhone and iPad, I'd say yes, 10 out of 10. If you want to review it as in, am I having fun? No, you're not going to be having fun unless you're like, unless you're a retro, like love retro games, or you want to see a bit of history, like very early 90s sort of cinematic game. But like, it's not fun anymore. Back in the day, I put up the punishment because I wanted to see the next beautifully animated and graphically amazing screen. I'm like, wow, this is so evocative, if I knew what the word was. I probably did, actually. But, like, it's so evocative. It's minimalist, and I probably didn't know that one. Minimalist and incredible. But nowadays, I'm thinking blank polygon.
Yeah.
It's like, So, yes, that's why I've given it 5 out of 10.
Well, this is a problem. This was a problem with those classic games, isn't it? I mean, obviously, the further and further you go back, particularly ones that are not 2D sprite games. I mean, it's just, you know, it was at the time it was amazing, but you never ever really want to go back to it. I mean, it's just
yeah, it kind of spoiled my memory of it, to be honest.
And I didn't even really think it was.
To play it.
I wasn't even sure. I mean, I think the classic is an overused thing. I mean, I don't really think was it that much of a classic.
It sold over a million at the time, which was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Console. Well, it came to the consoles later.
I don't remember it.
It was really
on my radar.
Yeah, it was pretty famous if you're an Amiga player.
If it wasn't blue with legs running around, I didn't really know.
Yeah, you were a console kiddie though. You only played games with bright colours and loud
music. Exactly, yeah. Like we do now.
Whereas I used to play stuff like Bloodnet and Another World, Flashback.
But I mean, Flashback was the same developer, wasn't it? And that was obviously a couple of years on.
I don't think it was, actually.
It was Delphine, though, wasn't it?
It's Delphine, yeah, but it wasn't the same creator as Another World.
Wasn't the lead? It wasn't the same.
Wait. Look, I'll bring it up. I know it was like a spiritual sequel. It wasn't actually a.
No, but I mean, that was a game that kind of when it got remade. I think was sufficiently advanced that you could kind of...
Yeah, but Flashback was good because it was a game.
Yeah. Well, no, exactly. I'm completely agreeing with you. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you, Will. Don't worry.
Come on, agree with me.
I am.
Yeah, look, it was by the guy who created Future Wars, was Flashback. The game was directed, written, designed, and partially programmed by him. So it's not really related to Another World at all, except for there's a general sort of style that's similar. But this one uses rotoscoping. Which is much nicer. Also, it's just got its game. It's like Prince of Persia, but with actual guns, and it had a plot, and it was lots of different scenes, and it was really good. I love Flashback. I completed it like 3 times. It had a really good intro music as well.
Wow.
That's 1992 as well. It's like a year later, but it was an actual game. That's the thing, because Another World is just an interactive film, but an interactive film in the sense that it's a game from 1991. Unlike, say, Dragon's Lair, which actually looks nice still because it's cartoon, sort of timeless. But the commentators have got a bit angry with me for that 5 out of 10. But like,
who were the commentators?
Our commentators.
Well, like,
people, other people. They don't.
I was thinking sports or something.
Sports commentators. Yeah.
Can't believe Will Wilson has just given a 5 out of 10 to classic game Another World. How do you think about that, Andy?
Joe Madden's phoned up. He doesn't agree.
You know that. Well, yeah. Anyway, I like the fact Wiki's given the genre for Flashback as cinematic platformer. Just call it a platformer, action platformer.
I love the way you say Wiki's giving it as if that's some sort of intelligent system rather than someone going just typing it in. Probably you, about half an hour ago.
Yes. Anyway, that was another Flashback was another game, by the way, that was much better on the Amiga than on the Mega Drive or the wherever else it was on, SNES, apparently. Better on the Amiga, better sound chip. Right, so who's last up? John?
Me, yeah. Well, as Keith mentioned, me and him have been playing the Whale Trail this week, which actually isn't out for ages, so it's probably a little bit presumptuous talking about it. But anyway, it's a game from the rather peculiar development team at, and they're called Us2, and they're like a UK company. Actually, they don't spend most of the time making games. They're kind of like a user interface company, but they've been making a few games over the years for iPhone, and they're quite an odd bunch. And so their games have been quite odd, but finally they've decided to make a decent game, and they've spent like £100,000 trying to make this game, which is called Whale Trail, which is we've been playing the beta version, so I think it's pretty much finished. I'm not quite sure how much more they're going to add, but they've obviously got a couple of weeks if they want to add more stuff in there. But it's basically a bit like the control method of Tiny Wings. So it's like that undulating thing that when you press on the screen, set the scene. your whale is flying through the sky. So it's not like Tiny Wings where you're kind of trying to land on a bit of ground, but basically you're just kind of like flying through the sky. It's like a free form. Your whale just undulates around, and when you press up, it's called, the whale's called Willow for some reason, I don't know. But when you press on the screen, she or it or whatever kind of flies up in a kind of like a wave-like motion, and when you obviously take your finger off, it kind of like dives back down again. And if you hold up, it can do like a loop-the-loop, so you kind of have control to do like a tighter turn. So the basic thing for you is to kind of fly through the sky, and there's these kind of bubbles of color, and you're collecting color because out of your tail comes the whale trail, and that's kind of, you need the color to be able to keep flying. That's the endless running type part of it. But then you have to avoid clouds, so there's all these clouds everywhere, and if you fly through them, you get electrocuted, and that kind of like destroys some of your whale trail. But then you can also collect stars, and when you collect enough stars, you'll get a frenzy meter, and then for a certain, I don't know, 5 seconds, you can attack the clouds and like get extra points, and then that's the kind of basic setup anyway. Which doesn't really, on that explanation, doesn't sound like so amazing. I mean, I guess in gameplay wise, it's not doing anything you haven't necessarily seen before. But it's the reason I am really enjoying it is it's just the presentation is absolutely amazing, and that's partly because the one thing that us two do is they work on in user experience. So it's basically how you would use anything. It's what they work on, like a website or something. But obviously for a game, it just feels really nice. The artwork's amazing. The soundtrack's done by the Super Furry Animals guy. You know, the whole thing is just so unbelievably polished. So I've been enjoying playing that beta. Keith, what have you thought of it?
Yeah, no. What I would say is the thing that I kind of took away was I'm sure you've said this to me yourself, that unlike other kind of endless runners kind of things where you feel like they want you to trip up from the word go, this kind of, it seems designed to keep you hooked on. So every time I felt like, because obviously the clouds build up and you have to weave around, it becomes more and more difficult to time your presses so that you're scooping out of the way. Every time I felt like, oh, you know, I'm about to die here, then there would be a few stars pop up and I would think, oh no, keep on track, I'll get the stars. And then you get the kind of frenzy bonus and you can go mad for, you know, 30 seconds or how long it is. And it just seems really well balanced. Not making things easy, but just kind of hanging a carrot on a stick over your head to keep you trying. Just when you feel like, as dramatic as it sounds, giving up, then suddenly the stars, there's some stars there, and you keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going. And it kind of seems, rather than wanting to trip you up, it seems built to keep you engaged for as long as it possibly can, which I thought was one thing that makes it really different to a lot of the other kind of games like that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of looking forward to that one. And the only thing I might think is it's just the appeal. I'm not sure how kind of quirky. I mean, not necessarily English quirkiness, but I wonder how it might be take a quite an arty view. Whereas like maybe the reason that Tiny Wings worked was just, you know, it looked kind of okay, and once you did it, you just, you know, it was what it was. You made of it what you were. Whereas I think maybe this. I don't know, would appeal to a slightly not so mass market appeal, maybe? I don't know. It's hard for me to judge.
I don't know. It's the kind of, it feels iPhone-y generation. It seems.
Mm. Oh yeah.
It kind of has a coolness about it just from the word go that I can imagine. And, you know, all of these games essentially have the kind of nonsensical kind of element to them. So kind of whales flying through the air doesn't really make any less sense than, you know, birds attacking pigs. It's kind of, I think it could do very well.
Mm. No, I mean, I hope it does. I know they've spent, you know, they've really spent not so much the money, but just the time kind of really trying to kind of, you know, kind of hone this as well as they can. So you kind of want people who really do kind of work on their kind of games to get some sort of reward, so we'll see. I mean, it's not going to be till I think the end of October, so I shall keep you informed if we get a new version to play at any point.
I believe we've reached the end of this trail. For the week. We will be back next week. Can I say a really bad joke?
Another one.
Oh dear.
Go on, make us laugh.
Okay. No, actually, I'm not going to bother. I'm nervous now, just in case you're all going to laugh at me.
Well, surely that's the point. You're going to tell a joke, so we're going to laugh. If it's embarrassing if we don't laugh.
It was a joke, John. It was a clever one. Okay, why are cows so employable?
Employable? I don't know, Will. Why are cows so...
Because they're outstanding in their field.
Have you been taking lessons from Mike Rose? That sounds like a Mike Rose joke to me.
Outstanding in the field. No, I was told that the other weekend. And I laughed so much I woke up the next day laughing.
You've not heard that one. Like five or something. Out of a cracker.
It probably was, but it's so bad. I did literally wake up the next morning and then thought of that joke and went, in bed. never mind.
Alone.
Yeah, alone. Yeah, so but we'll be back next week with the usual rundown and run up and run around. Have a great week, guys and girls. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.